This morning you have your Bibles. You're invited to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1. All right. A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. When the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in their languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belong to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with a new wine." But Peter, standing with 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken to the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall return to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man tested to you by God with deeds and power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man heading over to you, according to definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible to him be held in his power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you are not abandoning my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently that our ancestor David, he has both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with him an oath that he would build one of his descendants on the throne. For seeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned in Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and all of us are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and being received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you may both see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you, for your children, and all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. As he testified many other arguments, and exhorted them, saying, Save yourself from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day about 3,000 people were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, ate their food with gladdened and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. My friends, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning, we see the promise that we saw last week being fulfilled. Last week on Ascension Sunday, Jesus told his followers, Do not leave Jerusalem until you've been filled with power from on high. Now, approximately about 49 days after Easter, the Passover, the Jewish people had a celebration called Pentecost. And it was on this day of Pentecost that the apostles, men and women, were there together. And while they were praying, they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Fire came down from heaven. Above each of them was a flame of fire. That is symbolic of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, I must be quick to add that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why I refer to him as he and him, and not as it, a thing. So why is it true that he is symbolized through various times in the form of a dove, or a sound of a mighty rushing wind, or a flame of fire, you must realize that he is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus told his disciples in John's Gospel, I will send you another helper, a comforter, like me. That is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. And when the Holy Spirit fell upon them, they began to speak in other languages. And I'm sure every pastor loves the next few verses where Luke writes out all these different names of places. Because as they're speaking in Jerusalem, all these Jews show up and they're listening to them. And they say, wait a minute, what's going on here? These guys are Galileans. And yet, I hear them speaking in my language. Okay, so I want to be very clear about that because there's a lot of confusion in the church about this. This is not where they got up and they said something and another person had to translate it for another person. Mm-mm, that's not that. This would be like if I came in this morning and there was a whole row of people from China and people from Japan and Korea and Iraq and Iran, from Portugal and Spain and Germany and France and England, people from Colombia and Brazil, Australia, from the South Africa and Kenya and Egypt, people from Georgia and Alabama who had their own language. And I got up and spoke. And while I was speaking, they instantly heard what I was saying in their native language. They did not need a translator. The Spirit came down and worked in such a way that when Peter was preaching, when these apostles were preaching, they heard what was being said in their native language. It was an instant translation. It was done in such a manner they could look around like, wait a minute, I hear this in my native language, and I can tell he hears this in his native language, and she can hear it in her native language. What is going on? And then Peter jumps up, being filled with the Spirit, and said, "Men of Judea and all live in Jerusalem, let it be known to you, and listen to what I have to say. Indeed, these are not drunk, you suppose." It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, you know. I mean, right now, what is it? No, 10:15 our time. Peter said, "These guys haven't time to get drunk. It's too early in the morning for that. They're not filled with new wine. They're filled with the Holy Spirit." And then he quotes from the book of Joel, where God declares in the last days, he would pour out his Spirit on all kinds of people. You see, in the Jewish scripture, some folks had the Holy Spirit, usually referred to as the Spirit of the Lord, one by one or a handful of time. For example, Moses had the Spirit of the Lord, and God gave it upon 120 of his helpers to help him out. At Samson, every time he got in trouble, the Spirit of the Lord would rush upon him and give him the divine strength. King Saul had the Spirit of the Lord, but then sinned so grievously, God removed his spirit. And then when Samuel anointed David to be king, it said the Spirit of the Lord fell upon King David. But in the book of Joel, God promises there will come a time when all his people will be filled with his spirit. And then listen to this testimony that Peter gives in verse 22. "You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man tested to you by God with deeds and power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you, according to a definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law." In other words, Peter says, "I don't talk to you Israelites who live here, not to you tourists, but you guys. You know about Jesus of Nazareth. You knew he was a great prophet of words and deeds. You know this. And yet you hand him over to the lawless Gentiles, the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, and had him crucified. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in his power." And then he quotes from the book of Psalms about where King David talks about how his heart was glad and rejoiced, about how your Holy One will not experience corruption. And that is the psalm we just read a few minutes ago. And Peter says, "Now you know David was talking about himself. David's dead and buried. No, he's warm dust at this point. But he's talking about his descendant, Jesus." Listen to this. Peter goes on to say, "This Jesus God raised up, and all that of us are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God," we talked about that last Sunday, "and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out that you both see and hear. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God had made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now think about this. A few weeks ago, this was the same Peter at the fire pit in the courtyard of Caiaphas, the high priest. "Aren't you one of Jesus' disciples?" "No, no, no, not me." "Hey, weren't you with Jesus?" "No, no, no, not me. I don't know him." "Wait a minute, I know you. You're the guy with the sword. Cut off my friends here. You're one of Jesus' disciples." "I swear to God, I don't know him." This same Peter who 7 weeks earlier denied he even knew who Jesus was is now filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaiming to all these thousands of people, "Therefore, let the house of Israel know certainly that God made Jesus both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." When he said that, conviction broke out of the place. And they said to Peter and the others, "What should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You say, when you became a Christian, what happened? You repent of your sins, ask Jesus into your heart. Sometime later, you got baptized. And somewhere in that process, God gave you his Holy Spirit to live inside of you. He said, this promise is for you and for your children and those who are far away, one whom the Lord or God has called. And what happened? On that day, 3,000 people were added to the church. This was, if you will, the big bang of the church. It started off about 120 of them in the upper room. Well, on the day of Pentecost, went from 120 to 3,000. And then think about how many of them did not live in Jerusalem, but that's there for the Pentecost celebration. They went back to their hometowns, and doing so were spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, was able to speak and convert 3,000 people. Now, to give you an idea of how many 3,000 is, if you go to the McMinn Central Gym, there is a sign that says maximum occupation, 1,499. Not 1,500, but 1,499. So if you took two of those gyms packed out on graduation Sunday or graduation night, Friday night, put them together, that'd be how many people got converted after Peter's sermon. Peter spoke to 3,000 people at least, and what a testimony it was. Now, this past Friday night, we had a young man. He spoke to 1,498 people, give or take one or two. I want to invite him to come down and give his graduation speech because that's how much I thought of it. All right. Mr. Clint Bailey, come on down.
Made it sound all dramatic. So do you just want me to say it?
Yeah, just read it on me.
Okay.
So he did Friday night.
Okay. I'm just going to read it. My friends, it took a lot of work to get us here. I know that for me, I couldn't have made it without the support of the people I love. My mom and dad, my family, my teachers, and my friends. However, I know that some of you have had a harder time than I have. Maybe you didn't have people who supported you every step of the way. If you feel like that, if you feel like you had no one to support you, I want to talk to you. High school is over. The bad things you experienced, they're over. Now they're just memories to keep you up at night. All we have now is tomorrow, or so they say. But tomorrow is terrifying. However, there is still today. I know that as soon as this is over, most of y'all are going to bed. It wasn't too late when it was over. Okay. But there is still a today. This moment, right now. The past hurts, the future's scary, but today there's a choice, and there's someone who can purify your past, ensure your future, and give you life right now. I know, eye rolls all around the gym, but it's true. I was saved from hopelessness. My sorrow was a lake, but Jesus Christ pulled me out of it. So, if you're alone in the middle of your sea, if you're struggling, if you feel hopeless, he will save you from the drowning, give meaning to the suffering, and make the terrible memories into something that can't hurt you. He will change your foggy future into a road, one that he will walk with you because he's already walked it. And here, right now, he will make you new again. If Jesus Christ has raised the dead to life, and we know for a fact that he has, the tomb is empty, then he can and he will raise you out of hopelessness. He will never give up on you, so know today that he will be with you because he loves you. And I encourage you right now to let Jesus be your future and your legacy.
Amen. Glenn said in 2 minutes, so I've been trying to say for 25 minutes. No. But think what a powerful impact testimony that was to all those people inside that gym Friday night when they heard that. Yeah. And there's some folks I know thought, I needed to hear that. And there are probably a few who thought, I didn't want to hear that, but they needed to hear it even more. In the same way, that's how when Peter was on Pentecost Sunday, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching that sermon, and 3,000 souls got saved. And so in conclusion, you know, every believer needs to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with that Spirit, when these opportunities come to be a witness and testimony to Jesus Christ, we're not going to be shy, embarrassed, and but we're going to speak up. And so I'm going to be praying for you and share the witness and gospel with them and the way they can understand it, and let God take care of the rest. Thanks be to God. Amen.